Here is how the recently agreed-to nuclear deal looks to a leader in Iran. The terms are good enough. The U.S. interpretation of those terms is not. And he's hoping the deal triggers change in his country, though not as much as some Iranians might like.
The leader is Ali Larijani, the Speaker of Iran's legislature. He's a consummate insider, closely followed by Iran watchers like NPR's Peter Kenyon.
He's had a lot of the top jobs as head of the parliament now. The family is very big. The brother is the head of the judiciary. They have important business interests.
And Larijani's visit to New York last week opened a window on what Iran's leaders may be thinking. He arrived just as the U.S. Congress was preparing to vote on the nuclear agreement, and he sat down with our Steve Inskeep.
Ali Larijani wore a short beard and glasses when we met in a New York hotel.
Thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us and welcome to the United States.
We shook hands. He settled into a chair and spoke quietly through his interpreter.
I'm at your service.
He wore a suit and no tie in the style of the Islamic Republic. He's in his 50s, old enough to recall all the years from the 1979 Islamic Revolution to this historic moment. The nuclear deal is a swap. Iran accepts limits on its nuclear program and gets the lifting of global economic sanctions. Larijani called the deal acceptable.
I believe that we can use this deal as a step that we can take to move forward. And at the same time, it is not flawless.
And Larijani expects Iranian lawmakers to complain. This assembly is elected, though it's heavily influenced by the clerics who hold ultimate power. Most legislators are considered conservative, like their leader. And Larijani says many call the deal unfair. The U.S. can make sanctions snap back into place if it thinks Iran is breaking the deal.
But that is not true for us. We cannot return to the situation that we were in the past.
Larijani sees many of Iran's concessions as permanent, like removing the core of a reactor. That's the opposite of what American critics say. U.S. skeptics worry that Iran is temporarily setting back its nuclear program to get out of sanctions forever. Iranians argue they're setting back their program for sanctions relief that may only be temporary. Iran's anxiety was apparent as we spoke with Ali Larijani.
Will Iran be fully committed to upholding its part in this deal?
We have always adhered to international agreements like this one. If it goes through the parliament and if it is approved by the parliament, we will definitely adhere to it and implement it fully. But if something else happens in the U.S. Congress, or if there are new types of sanctions on us, then they should not expect us to implement. Or if the Americans don't stay true to their obligations on their part, they shouldn't expect us to do it.
Now we're getting to one of the sticky points in this agreement. It is supposed to be about nuclear issues. It is supposed to lift nuclear sanctions. The United States has insisted it will keep up the pressure against Iran on other issues. That's what President Obama told us during an interview in August.
We'll still have our sanctions in place with respect to non-nuclear activities like sponsorship of terrorism or violation of human rights.
And it's what Secretary of State John Kerry told us in July. Kerry said the U.S. was absolutely free to punish Iran for acts like supporting the militant group Hezbollah.
So we are going to engage with others in making sure that we hold Iran accountable to standards that it must be expected to live up to.
And that's what led to our next question to Iran's Parliament Speaker Larijani.
Suppose the United States begins imposing new sanctions on Iran for issues other than nuclear issues, perhaps the same old sanctions, just for a different reason. What will Iran do?
There are different points mentioned in the text that need to be read carefully. The text says that no country will go after new sanctions.
Larijani contends the agreement will not allow the U.S. to target Iran in that way. If Iran interprets the other side as violating the deal, quote, we will do whatever is needed. The two sides may agree on what the nuclear deal says on paper, but many arguments loom over what it really means in practice.
I think there are some people who want to wreck the deal, so they are trying to find new ways to make holes or to perforate the deal. But we are not going to do this. But if anybody wrecks the deal in any way, then we will know how to respond to it.
President Rouhani of Iran has indicated that the nuclear deal was the first of many things he wishes to accomplish as president, and that political and economic reforms inside Iran may follow a nuclear deal. Of course, he would depend on your cooperation as a legislative leader to do much of that. What is one specific political or economic or social reform that you believe is possible now?
I think he meant economic reforms. So I see very much eye to eye with him in this matter. I think we can make it possible for the economy to thrive. There have been some priorities that we have set. We are going to facilitate investments, foreign or domestic investments, to be made in the energy sector, like in oil, gas, and petrochemicals.
Note what the Iranian leader said and did not say. Economic reforms may lie ahead as economic sanctions are lifted. Political or social reforms, changing Iran's constraints on personal freedom or the media or the internet, are not a high priority. We asked if Iran might now free political candidates who have been under house arrest since a disputed election in 2009. Larijani said it was up to the justice system. Still, he spoke of the nuclear deal as a first step, which could trigger greater change. That led us to pose another question. As you know, American lawmakers in Congress have been deeply critical of Iran, deeply critical of this agreement. Would you invite your counterparts in the United States Congress to travel to Iran and visit it?
I think such things need to be discussed at a higher level. Iran and the U.S. have this past history that is very dark.
And Larijani recited the Iranian view of that dark history. He did not mention the 1979 hostage crisis, or Iran's calls to eliminate Israel, or Iran's past secret nuclear activities. He spoke instead of when the United States supported a coup in Iran in 1953. In the 1980s, the United States supported Iran's mortal enemy, Saddam Hussein of Iraq. Working through this history, the soft-spoken Iranian gradually became more heated.
I'm not saying that we should live in the past, but we should not try to find dramatic solutions. And if we see that there is a change in the U.S. attitude towards us, then we can do something with each other. You know, these days we are supposed to be paving the ground for the ratification and the implementation of the deal. We have to prepare the public opinion for this. But every day it seems that your Secretary of Defense wakes up in the morning, opens the window, he shouts something at Iran and says that the military option is still on the table. So what does this mean? If you really want to have war, then just go with it. Why are you just talking about it all the time? Why is it that you just talk about it? I mean, does it solve anything? Is it of any use?
Finally, Larijani answered the question I had originally asked. In effect, he said no. He cannot imagine American lawmakers being invited to visit Iran, at least not yet. Ali Larijani described the nuclear agreement as a test for the United States, just as the United States has posed the agreement as a test for Iran.